You know, the best we can do and the best we can offer is still not enough because, unfortunately, we live in a world that is inhabited by Satan. And the things that he will do to destroy lives, to wreck homes, his diabolical nature knows no limits. And we had friendships that were formed in some of those high school years especially that were very unhealthy friendships, as we would come to learn. And we had to take a hard line with some of those friends and let our girls know that these particular friends were not welcome in our home. Oh, and that's hard. And there's resentment that comes when you take a hard stand like that. There was a battle of the wills that took place at times. But somehow we survived that in spite of our many, many mistakes. And I'll tell you, I could probably do a better job telling you what not to do as a parent than I could telling you what to do. We survived that. And now we're at that wonderful stage where we're able to enjoy our adult children. We still pray for them. But you know, today I look at younger families, and this morning when we announced that Adam and Kim Tomlinson were expecting a child, and just thinking about starting over again and what that would be like, it's a scary thing. And for those of you who are older here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've lived long enough to see the way the world has changed from when your children were young until the way it is today. There's not as much positive societal influence today. There's much more negative peer pressure. And the sinful options that Satan makes available are so ready to be caught up. They're just out there at arm's length. And so I think it's much more difficult today to be a parent than it was even when I raised my girls, or even more so from when I was raised. But tonight we want to drive down some stakes as we look at parenting. And I want to just share three absolute basics of Christian parenting. And if we don't get anything else right, we need to get these three things right as we try to raise children today. And the first one, it ought to be obvious, is simply this. The Bible is our guide. The Bible is our guide. The world is full of counsel on raising children. And much of what you'll pick up on the bookshelf or hear in counseling seminars on parenting today is diametrically opposed to what God has to say on the subject. There are counselors in our public schools today, in our high schools, who counsel sexual promiscuity. They say that's all right as long as it's safe sex. And then should a pregnancy occur, they will counsel that same young girl to go through an abortion with no necessity to even let her parents know about it. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, and he said, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." Isaiah said in chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe to those who call good evil, and evil good, who put darkness for light, and light for darkness, who put sweet for bitter, and bitter for sweet." And yet that's happening every day. Things are just turned around the opposite of the way they ought to be. One of the current philosophies on child rearing, which you'll see in many books, proposes a complete democracy of the household, in which children are allowed equal voting rights with parents. Now, God's word is very clear. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." One popular line of thinking as far as religious training says, don't force your child to do anything religiously. Let them sort of stay in neutral until they're old enough to assess the situation for themselves and make decisions on their own, and then they can decide what is best for them religiously. Well, that may sound like a very progressive way to approach religious training, but God's Word says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I saw a television show recently that I found disturbing about this whole thing about gender neutrality, and it was a documentary on what they were calling fairy boys, young boys who like at an early age to dress up in dresses and wear makeup and take on the role of a girl. And there were parents there who had formed together, and they were encouraging this. And so they would let their boys all, you know, do that and encourage that kind of thing. And yet God's Word says, in the beginning, God made them male and female and provided for a distinction between genders. Many counselors today discourage spanking, and that is becoming increasingly politically incorrect. If you swat your child's bottom in the grocery store, you may be reported for child abuse. Yet God's Word says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, whoever spares the rod hates their child, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Many parents believe that the only real goal they have is to build self-esteem in their child, and that they don't want to do anything that would hurt the self-confidence that that child has and the self-esteem. And yet God clearly says that he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul wrote and said, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. You know, it's easy for human philosophy to crowd out what God has to say in his Word on this subject of parenting. This book that we call the Bible is over 2,000 years old, and it's not revised every few years to include the latest theories in child rearing. But what it contains is the wisdom that has served generations of godly people, written by the Creator of parents and their children. So, first thing, listen to what God has to say on the subject and not to worldly counsel. The second basic that I want us to consider is this, is that it's important that we as parents spend our time keeping the home base strong. And by that, I'm talking about the marriage. The time that's spent on the couple and keeping that marriage strong and thriving is so critical. Vicki and I were a pair for several years before children ever entered our territory. And then we went through that period of time, and now it's just the two of us again. And we're enjoying this stage of life again. You know, children are in the home temporarily. Marriage is for life. When a child enters a home, parents can often go to one of two extremes. The one extreme would be neglect, where the child is just not cared for and trained properly. The other one is making that child the very center of everything that goes on in the home. That's only a subtle form of idolatry. Now, I've seen homes, and you have too, where children set the agenda. They are the ones who determine everything that happens in the family. They lead the parents. The home existed, that couple existed, before the children came, and it will exist after the children go. Children are gifts from God, yes, but they are temporary guests in your home. The primary object of my affection is Vicki. Now, does that mean I don't love my girls? I would die for my girls. But I love Vicki first, and I will love her last. And my girls know and understand that. When you allow a child to become the center of your universe, you're setting that child up for disaster. He or she, excuse me a minute, let me get a cough drop in my mouth or I'm not going to be able to finish this lesson. He or she, if allowed to become the very center of the universe of that home, if everything is focused on that child, then that child will become a self-centered narcissist. That child will be unpleasant for anyone else to be around because of their demanding, self-centered personality. Secondly, you will ultimately guarantee the future unhappiness of that child if you make them the center of everything that goes on, because you're teaching them to be selfish. They're going to have trouble in all their adult relationships. They're going to have trouble in their marriage because they've received that unhealthy focus as a child growing up. And what usually happens is the parents that deal with their children in this way usually guarantee that they themselves will end up in a divorce. When your energies are entirely focused on the children, and then finally the children leave and go off to college and leave home, then there's nothing left because the marriage itself has not been nurtured through those years. You know, children need to be taught that they are not the center of the universe. And this happens when parents continue to have regular date nights, when just the two of them go off. And when the children say, "Can we go?" they say, "No, this is just for Mommy and Daddy. This is our special time. This is for us, not for you." I appreciate couples that I see doing a good job at this. Tony Gentry and Jonna. Tony's now preaching out at Brookline, and we're frequently around them and their children. And they do not allow their children to become the center of the universe. And one of the things they always do, they will not let their children interrupt adult conversation. Now, that's rare today, but I admire that. And when they come up, they'll very quickly say, "We're in the middle of a conversation. You need to wait until we're through, unless it's something critically important." And those children have learned to respect those kinds of boundaries. It's important, I think, today especially, to put children to bed early. And I would encourage young parents to do that. It's not for the child, it's for you. You need that time at the end of the day to be involved in adult conversation with your spouse. And so you need that time. And the greatest gift, and people have said this to me all my life, and I believe it, the greatest gift you can give your child is to let them witness the mutual devotion that mother and father have for each other. And then the third basic that I want to mention tonight is simply this, and that is that the primary task, and parents need to always keep this before them, the primary task of a parent is to train your child to love God and to obey Him. If you can get that right, everything else will fall into place. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And I know a lot of parents who want their child to be the most popular child in their class, or they want them to be the smartest one in the class, or the best football player in the class, and all too often it's just simply wanting to live vicariously through their child. And I know many parents have set the standard of parenthood as producing a financially successful child. They feel like they've done their job if they can see that their child is a successful business person or a lawyer or a doctor, and that's good if they can do that. But that's not the ultimate goal of parenthood. And I know some parents who just say, "All I want is for my child to be happy." Well, I tell you, that's not all I want. I'd like for them to be happy, but there's something more important than their just being happy in this life. None of these things last. More than anything in the world, I want my children to go to heaven. That's the goal. That's success as a parent. You know, even though our girls are grown and gone, we pray for them every single day. And we pray that they will keep their focus on God and will grow to serve Him and love Him more. And the reason I pray that is because I have seen too many times, it's never over until life is over. I've seen children that look like they were just going to do great all their life, and then later on, things didn't go so well. And I've seen other families where it looked like it was going to be awful, and yet that child had a dramatic turnaround and things ended very well. You don't know. And so you always, always, always pray that your children will be faithful to the Lord. I hope that over these next few nights that we can encourage one another in this area, and that we can help provide some things that will be useful for parents and grandparents and useful for the children as well. I'm just grateful that I have a loving, forgiving Heavenly Father who, even though He has had to deal with all of His imperfect children, still loves us all and welcomes us with open arms when we turn to Him. And so tonight we want to close by singing this invitation song. And if there's anyone here tonight that needs to respond in faith to their loving Father, knowing that He will accept and cleanse and forgive, He will. If you need to be baptized, we'll assist you. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you. If you need to come, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.